Good afternoon, Dr. Everton, and welcome to Kalamazoo.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dunbar.
Well, first, we'd like to know a little about yourself, what you've done, and particularly something about your educational experience.
Well, I started out in Southern California at the University of Redlands, and then went on to Colgate-Rochester Divinity School in New York State, moved further east to New Haven, Connecticut, Yale University, where I took my PhD, and then spent a year in England at Cambridge.
What was your PhD in?
My PhD was in the field of ethics and philosophy.
I see.
And now I'm in the process of moving westward again as far as Michigan.
Let's see, you spent some years at Grinnell, did you not?
Yes, I've been at Grinnell for the past 8 years as dean of the chapel and professor of philosophy and religion and chairman of the Division of Social Studies.
I believe you had some experience outside the academic field in the war years.
Well, Grinnell was very generous in letting me leave on leave of absence during the war years to direct the relief and rehabilitation program in India in 1944-45. This was under the American Friends Service Committee with funds from the National War Fund under the War Relief Control Board.
I understand that you met some very important people out in India.
Yes, I was fortunate enough to meet both some of the leaders of the British government there and also some of the Indian leaders. I spent some days with Gandhi at Panchgani, had a very interesting time with him, and also spent some time with Lord Wavell in Delhi.
Certainly your views of the present situation in India would be of interest. Do you think that the Hindus and the Muslims are finding a way to live with each other peaceably?
I believe that they are, and that the events of the past few months since the initial uprising following the granting of independence indicate that there is a possibility of creative development in India today, and that the signs point to a hopeful future.
And then I believe you were in Finland for a year.
Yes, we spent some time in Finland, not quite a year. We were there with the international work camps in the summer of 1947, north of the Arctic Circle, working there with the American Friends Service Committee in the rebuilding of homes for Finnish people who had lost their homes at the time of the retreat of the Germans into Norway in 1944.
You say we. Does that include Mrs. Everton?
My wife was with me on that trip, yes, on the earlier trip while she stayed in Brunel with our three small children.
Oh, you have three small children?
Three children, one daughter 10 years old, another 7, and one son 2 and a half, the baby of the family.
Well, that's fine. Well, now tell me, Dr. Everton, how do you look at Kalamazoo College and the job that's been given to you by the trustees of the college as president of that institution?
Well, my comment to one of the members of the administrative committee that's been carrying on the work of the college this year was that after the last 2 days on the campus and interviews with a great many different people, that I was just as enthusiastic as I was when I accepted the job about a week ago.
Wonderful. When do you expect to come to Kalamazoo to live?
We hope to move here along about the middle of June. In the meantime, I'm hoping to be here for about a week out of each month during the second semester.
To sort of get yourself oriented.
That's right. I'm still carrying on a full program at Grinnell College until the end of this year.
Well, now, Dr. Everton, how about the small college? I'm sure that a great many of our listeners happened to see the articles in Life magazine about Williams College last week. The campus and something about how a small college operates and something about its problems, too. What do you think about the future of a small college? Do you think it's got a place in American education that's going to be permanent and lasting?
Well, that's really the $64 question, particularly in view of the report on higher education, which was recently given. I would say immediately that in connection with Williams College and Kalamazoo College, there are some differences and some points of similarity. In terms of some of the problems financially and the basic structure of the institutions, they would certainly meet common problems. The problems of diminishing resources from endowment funds, the problem of the competition which you have with state-supported institutions where large resources are being poured into those institutions. However, I believe that there are certain distinctive functions of the small liberal arts college, which gives it a very definite place in the future of higher education. In fact, a quite unique place.
Could you be a little more specific about those?
Yes, I believe that the small liberal arts college has an opportunity for a personalized kind of educational experience, which is impossible in the larger institution. That there should be a kind of relationship between the faculty and the students and the administration in the small college, where there's the opportunity for the students to visit in the homes of faculty members and to have small seminar and discussion groups, and for the development of a counseling service and counseling relationship which would not be possible in the larger institution to the same extent.
I noticed that President Kenneth Brown of Denison University, who I believe also is the president of the Association of American Colleges and Universities, had some rather critical things to say about college catalogs in his address the other day. I believe he said that sometimes catalogs claim that a college gives individual attention to its students, whereas that actually isn't the case on the campus. I suppose there is a problem to make that individual relationship that you spoke of real, isn't there?
Certainly true, and the comment which he made is not without grounds on the basis of some of the college catalogs which I've seen. It certainly is one of my own concerns that the catalog of Kalamazoo College will continue to interpret accurately the real opportunities that are there for the student. And I believe that the development of counseling service and of these more personalized relationships is something which cannot take place over any short period of time, but must be an increasing emphasis in the life of the liberal arts college.
I take it also that you believe that these counseling services should be somewhat on a personal basis as well as a perhaps a scientific basis.
Decidedly so, and not simply a matter of professional counseling, but rather the kind of intimate interest and concern that faculty members may have when they are working with a smaller group of students. Incidentally, it seems to me that at that particular point there is a suggestion of another contribution of the small liberal arts college, namely that it is the personality of the faculty member which may make a tremendous influence in the life of the student, and that it is possible for the student to know him sufficiently well so that as he looks back after 20, 25 years, he will think of some of the outstanding personalities who have influenced him and who have helped him in the development of his philosophy of life while in college.
If I may come back for a moment to the financial problem of the small college, I noticed in this article on Williams College that the president spoke of the danger of rising tuition costs and the possibility that if tuition costs became too high, that the small college might become only the home of rich young men and young women and would not represent a cross-section of American life. Do you feel there's some danger along that line?
I think that's a very important comment, and I think it is a danger that most of the smaller colleges have faced. I believe that the answer to it is to be found in part in the development of adequate scholarship funds so that deserving students may attend the small college even if they are not able to pay the entire tuition and board and room costs. From an operational point of view, it's almost impossible to reduce very drastically at any given point the actual cost of educating the student. The only way in which it can be done is by increasing endowment and by the development of adequate scholarship funds.
Do you feel that there is any danger that the sources of support for the small college may dry up?
I have sufficient confidence in the unique contribution that the small college may make to higher education to believe that there will be a support for that college, both from individuals and also from institutions who have it as their particular concern. I'm thinking now especially of the church-related college and of the fact that the churches have had historically a very close relationship to the small Christian liberal arts college. I believe that that relationship ought to continue and that we ought to consider not only the support of individuals as important for the institution, but also the kind of institutional support which you can secure from an institution like the Christian Church.
Well now, Dr. Everton, what about the curriculum of the small liberal arts college like Kalamazoo College? What do you think the curriculum ought to offer in a general way?
Personally, I am more interested in a broad cultural education than in an excessive emphasis on vocational training. I believe that there should be a proper balance between the natural sciences and the humanities, the social studies, and that all of the students in the small liberal arts college should have an opportunity not only to work in a field of concentration during their last 2 years, but also to have adequate preparation in meeting the general objectives of the college, which ought to include work in the natural sciences, in the social studies, in language and literature, in the humanities, and so on.
Will there be a demand for that kind of product? When the student graduates, is there any possibility of him getting a job with that sort of preparation?
We found from our own experience in the past 8 years at Grinnell College that many business corporations have written to us and have said that they would prefer to have the student who has the broad cultural education and then give him the technical training that is necessary for that particular industry or business. rather than having us give him the technical training and then sending him on to them.
Yes, I think that's been an increasing tendency. Even in the high schools, I've noticed that they're saying that they shouldn't be too specialized nowadays.
I believe that it was true a few years ago that there was a greater emphasis on the vocational training than is true today, and that the trend is in the direction of the broad cultural liberal arts training.
I suppose that liberal arts training, however, ought to be functional, hadn't it? It ought to be real in terms of...
Decidedly so. And it certainly would include pre-professional training in law, in medicine, engineering, and in other vocational fields.
How about the small college and the community, specifically Kalamazoo College and the community here in Kalamazoo, Dr. Everton?
Well, I should like to say just at this point that I've been very happy to hear that there's a very pleasant and a very friendly relationship between the college and the community, and that Kalamazoo has been very fine in support of the college. I naturally anticipate and hope that this relationship will continue in the future, for I believe that a college does need that kind of support from its local community, and that the college in turn may contribute to the enrichment of the life of the community.
You mean perhaps that certain of the college departments might use community resources in their teaching?
Yes, one of the things that interests me here is the fact that we do have a municipal research bureau, students in political science who are working there. We have students in sociology who are working in many of the social welfare agencies in the community. And I believe that services of this kind can be extended.
Dr. Everton, we've been talking about the small college. Now, how large can a college get before it ceases to be small, if I may ask that question?
Well, that's a problem that we've been confronted with during the past year or so with the inflation of student enrollments across the country. I believe personally that a small college ideally should not be over 500 or 600 students in order to maintain the kind of personal relationships which you naturally anticipate would be there. When you get over the 1,000 mark, certainly, you cease to be a small college.
Perhaps this question is a little premature, but have you any observations to make on the place of athletics in the small college?
I believe both in the importance of a good intercollegiate program of athletics, but in addition to that, I also believe that there ought to be a very strong intramural program, because if the college is to perform its function effectively, it must train not only the minds, but it must also develop the bodies of its students. And I don't believe that that can be done simply sitting in the bleachers every Saturday afternoon. I think that the college ought to give them training in at least one sport that they can carry on after their college career, in addition to the experience which they would gain in some team sport, where they have all of the advantages that can be gained from that kind of participation and cooperation in an athletic program. I believe in it as an integral part of the life of the institution.
I see. Dr. Everton, was there anything in particular that attracted you to Kalamazoo that made this seem like a challenge to you, that made it seem like the thing that you wanted to do?
Both because of the long history of Kalamazoo College, the fine tradition of the institution, and the potential possibilities that are here for growth and further development, I felt that this offered an unusually good opportunity for the kind of work that I was most interested in doing. Because personally, I am most interested in serving in a small liberal arts college, believing in the unique and distinctive contribution that it can make to our American life.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Everton, for being with us here in our WKZO studios and for telling us something about yourself and a little about what you hope to accomplish during the years ahead during which you will have the position of leadership as president of Kalamazoo College.